I chose this verse because it has a lot to say about Alaska. There's some things that I won't go into for the sake of some of the children that are here. But if you've read any missionary autobiographies or biographies on missionaries, you know that there's some atrocities that happen in the world. The devil doesn't like you and I. He's learned that the only way that he can hurt God is through us. The one thing that God holds precious above everything else that he's created. And we've seen some of those atrocities in Alaska, and it's heartbreaking. It's heartrending. This verse, a portion of it at least, is on our prayer card also. It says, "Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty." You know, I was a sailor for 11 years. During that time, I spent about 5 years at sea. And when you take mankind and isolate them away from civilization, man gets pretty wicked. Civilization kind of keeps man in check a little bit. You know, we even see that going as far back as the Romans. Many civilizations have had good laws and civil government to, well, keep us civil. But when you take man away from that and let them out on their own for a little while, then we see what man is capable of. And in Alaska, you've got a lot of small communities, and you have darkness. Not just physical darkness. I kid you not. Sometimes I step off the airplane into a community and you can feel the demonic oppression that is in that place or in that home. And it's real. I can't describe it to you. But you know, if you read your Bible, you know that it's real. I mean, you look at just the miracles that our Lord Jesus Christ performed. Many of the times when he healed somebody, he cast a demon out of them. Amen? How many people do we have on antidepressant drugs, running around dressing like the other sex? Amen? Running around looking like a freak show. I was talking to Brother Chris Ryan today. He said he and Butch, Pastor Phillips, we're walking out of walking into Walmart, and there was these two guys walking out. One of them had green hair, and the other one had blue hair. And Brother Butch kind of goes, and the guy turned around and gave him a really dirty look for staring at him. And Brother Phillips says to Chris, he says, "Well, you know, if you're going to get up in the morning and put blue hair on that's a foot tall, you got to expect that people are going to stare at you, amen?" But the point is, there's a lot of confusion in this world. And a lot of that confusion has to do with the demonic influence that is in this world. Now, in Alaska, this would be a whole lot easier. I like to turn the lights off when I'm preaching a message like this so that we can see what darkness is. You know, where we're at, it gets dark. And there's no city lights. Matter of fact, there's no city. Matter of fact, our closest neighbor's a mile away. that dark that sets in is so strong that the smallest amount of light can be seen. Now, I like standing out there and looking up at the stars. You know, as a sailor, I used to do that out on the open sea. You know, there'd be no land in sight, so there was no light pollution, and stare up at the sky and think about the Psalms and in respect to God's creation and just how wonderful it is and how perfect it is and what have you. But the point is, we can see those stars that are far, far away because of how dark it is. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. Turn with me to Psalm 119 and let's look at verse 130. Psalm 119 and verse 130. I'm sure you already know this about Psalm 119, but longest chapter in the Bible, and every verse in this chapter has something to say about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." When we go into a dark place, and this world is getting dark, this world spiritually is getting wicked, just a little bit of light. It's easy to see. But the challenge is whether or not you and I allow our light to shine, or whether or not we put a bushel over it. I've used this example since I was preaching in junior church. You know, often what we as Christians do is we put a line, right? Draw a line in the sand and we say, I'm going to stay this far away from the world, right? Because we're to be separated, sanctified, amen? So the world is right here, I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to be separate. But what happens? The world moves. The world gets wickeder and wickeder. And what do most Christians do? Keep their distance, amen? Keep their distance. And what happens is in 10 years, Christians are where the world was yesterday. Amen? Brother Art Wilson told me in his living room about a week before he died, he said, "What you see in the world today will be in the church tomorrow." I said, "No, come on, brother. The world's getting bad." And he said, look at a movie from the 50s at those lost people that were acting and tell me whether or not they dressed and behaved more conservatively than Christians today. Amen. So how do we prevent that from happening? Well, we make our standard something that doesn't move. Amen. Make our standard one who said that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We make our standard the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew, please, chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. You know, let's start in 14. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men." Why? So that they can see us, so that they can see all the wonderful things that we've done, so that they know our name and they know who we are. No, that's not what it says. It says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen? You know, the darker the world gets, if we stay put, the easier our light shines. They get darker, it makes us brighter. Amen? We don't have to get brighter. All we have to do is stand. Stand therefore. Stand. Stay put. You know, God has given you and I some fundamentals, a solid rock that we were built upon. All we got to do is stick with it. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's look at who the world is focusing on. Familiar passage of scripture here. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, it's important that you and I remember that who our fight is with. Amen? Sometimes it gets aggravating when you're in the fight. So it's easy for us to turn our focus on the ones that we're fighting for instead of the one that we're fighting against. And we lose sight of where we were before we got saved. Amen? You know, if it weren't for the grace of God, you and I now would be capable of the worst. Amen? Before we got saved, we didn't have that power to say no. We could have been an Adolf Hitler. We could have been, you name the person, you name the sin. And we could have been, yet but for the grace of God. You know, the Apostle Paul often reminds, we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, and he's reminding the church in Ephesus where they came from. Don't forget what God saved you from. It makes it a whole lot easier to reach down and get the gospel to somebody else. You know, in Alaska, in Circle, I don't think that there is one man in Circle right now. There might be one. There may be one. But he just recently moved in that would be qualified for the ministry if he would get saved. On top of that, we've got three generations of people that have had fetal alcohol syndrome. So the adults don't have the cognitive ability because their mothers damaged them in the womb. Three generations of people that are that way. And so, you know, that's what we're dealing with in these villages up in Alaska. Now, not all of them are that way, but the Upper Yukon Athabascan villages are to a lot of degree. And who's at fault for that? The God of this world. You know, he's the one, and he's blinded them. But you know what? I serve a God that's greater than he is. I serve a God that's greater than our sin. He's greater than any distraction that Satan can put forward. And he's given us the tool that'll cut through all of that garbage. And it's right here, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. I'm thankful for that light. I'm thankful that God has given us that tool. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, please. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John is one of my my favorite books to preach out of. One of my favorite subjects is creation, and I just love the first chapter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And when the Lord Jesus Christ sends us out, he doesn't send us out as sheep before wolves just to see us get slaughtered. Amen? He sends us out with power. I mean, power that the world cannot even comprehend. When we look at the Great Commission, and he starts out by saying that he has all power. And because he has all power, he says, "Go ye into all the world." You know, we're able to do that not because of ourselves, but because of him. Amen? We go and knock on our neighbor's door, It's not in the abilities and the power of Nathan Smoot that I'm knocking on that person's door. I am intending that God has already dealt with that person's heart. And so when I give them the gospel, it's with a purpose and a thought in my mind that God has already prepared the soul. God has already prepared the heart. Somebody has already planted that seed. Somebody has already watered it. I get to pick the fruit. Or maybe I get to water it, or maybe I get to plant the seed. Maybe I don't get to pick the fruit. But the point is, the harvest is the Lord's. It's not mine. It doesn't matter if it's here or if it's up in Fairbanks, Alaska, or further out in Circle in the Yukon River. That harvest is God's, and it's in His power that we do these things. I'm so glad that I have that promise that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Can you imagine if you and I were going forth into the world with this message and Satan had the power of the world? It would be a horrible, amen? But we don't have to worry about that because that's not the way it is. One last verse. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Of course, as a missionary, the Great Commission is one of my favorites, right? But I want you to see something different in this verse. Lord Jesus Christ speaking to His disciples, He says, and He saith unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see where it says creature there? You know, I don't know about you, but the wording in the scriptures is important to me. And so for a number of years, I didn't quite understand that verse. I mean, I understood what I was supposed to do. I understood the basic context of it. But I didn't understand why He chose to use the word creature. I mean, to me, I'm thinking, you know, horses, cattle, deer, moose. I mean, why did He use the word creature? And so, who has a Webster's 1828 dictionary? What a blessing that tool is, amen? Help out dummies like me, amen. So, I still haven't graduated English, ninth grade. I'm just kidding. I just knowledge level-wise. I think my English teacher graduated me just to prevent me from coming back. Anyhow, I looked that word up. And the word creature, as it's used in this verse, means a human being held in contempt. I want you to think about this. Who would you not want sitting next to you in church? That's somebody that you hold in contempt. If you were walking down the street and you saw a certain type of person walking down the street, and you would cross to the other side so that you didn't have to make contact with them, that's contempt. Amen? Are we all right?
Yeah.
When I was in Gibraltar, which is right at the mouth of the Mediterranean Sea and the Atlantic Ocean, I ran into a fella several times throughout the day whom I believe with all my heart was demonically possessed. He was wild in his appearance and in his, this was back in the 90s, his speech, just a wild individual. And I avoided him throughout the day a few times. And the Lord impressed me that He wanted me to go up to that man and give him the gospel. I went to the other side of the street. I said no to God three times. When I got on the boat, the Liberty boat, to go back to my ship, God smote my heart. He said, what if you were the last person that could reach that man? And now he's going to spend an eternity in hell. Now, I don't know if that happened, but what if? And I made a commitment at that time with the Lord that I would never allow that to happen again. And, you know, there's times up there in Circle where we'll have somebody that is extremely drunk come into church, sit down for about 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes. And they'll disrupt the service. I'll set my notes aside and I'll preach a 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 minute message on salvation, and then they'll get up and leave, and then I'll go back to my notes. We bring people to church in town with us when we go to town church, and sometimes, you know, they're not dressed the best. Sometimes they don't smell the best. Amen. That's who God wants us to reach. That person. You know, He wants us to fill the house with that kind of whatever that kind is. So much the so that He eternally penned it down in the Great Commission. This is the responsibility that we have. Not to just reach the lost, but think about purpose. Go out and get. There's a dark world out there. You know, you don't have to go to Alaska to find it. It's outside the walls of this church just as much as it's out there. You've got the same tool that we're using. Praise God for a good old King James Version Bible. Amen. The light to shine forth. God's given us. He's preserved His Word down through the ages so that we can hold on to something that is perfect, that we can depend upon, and that we can share, and then His Word is what convicts hearts. And I'm thankful for that. God's blessed us so much up there. He's allowed us to be there for 15 years. It's my sincere desire that He allows me to be there until He takes me home. Amen. So I would ask that you continue to pray for us. One last thing to say. When we think about reaching the lost, you can't focus on the lost around you if you yourself are not saved. Amen? If you have never gotten it settled, hey, Jesus Christ loves you so much. He died to save you. He gave His life for you. Not just so that you could walk around with a label saying, I'm a Christian, but so that you would be eternally adopted into His family, into His home, to be a son of God, a daughter. However, I mean, the Word of God says son. It's not gender specific. It's gender neutral in that respect. But God wants each one of us here to have our salvation nailed down. Today, this is the day of salvation. I would encourage you not to leave tonight without talking to your pastor. Get that settled. But I'm done. I'm going to go ahead and hand it over. If you have any questions for us, please lay it on us. We want you to know, answer your questions as to the best of our abilities. So, Lord bless you.